We're not finished, but we'll continue another time. If there are others of you that have testimony that you'd like to yet give, I would like to just read that letter to the church at Philadelphia this morning, if we could, the last few minutes, and we'll just note a couple things from that church. This is not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If you look on the map of Asia Minor, you can see that these churches kind of form a circle, pretty much. And Philadelphia was over there also, and I guess what we would call the area of Turkey today. But here's the letter. It says it's from the words of the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. Who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. He has a key of David. Now that's singular. It's not keys, it's not plural. He has the key of David. I think that all comes from Isaiah 22. I think it's verse 22. And following from there, that you read about this doorkeeper in the house of God, and he had the key that was given to him, and he could open the doors throughout that house, and he could lock the doors in that house because he had the master key. There was a key that was given him. And what he opened was opened, and what he locked was locked. And you find those words verbatim in Isaiah 22. What he opens, no man can shut, and what he shuts, no man can open. And in this church in Philadelphia, the Holy Spirit says, I've given you these keys, or this key, I'm sorry, singular. I've given you this key, and this key opens doors or shuts doors, and when I open the doors, nobody's going to shut it, and vice versa. Of course, that's different than in Matthew when the Lord said to Peter, I give to you or to the church the keys, plural. I give you the keys of the kingdom. And that's, I believe that's altogether different. It's not the same thought or key that's given to the church as given here in the key of David. And I would just simply say that the key is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To this church has been given this key, and there's an open door. I've placed that before you, and nobody can shut that door. I know you have a little strength, yet you've kept my word. Now, that's a bad translation. I think it is, that verse. The NIV is what I'm reading. I think sometimes the NIV is a good translation. I think sometimes it's not a good translation. And I think sometimes the King James is, I'm going to say it out loud. I think sometimes there are mistranslations there also, as I'm told at least. But if you read that in the King James, what's it say? I have set before you an open door. You have a little strength and what? Keep on going. Yeah, whatever you're saying, I'm not hearing it, so I'm going to tell you what I think it says. I think what it says there is he sets before them an open door because I have given you this open door because there's a reason for the open door that has been given to the church in Philadelphia. The reason why God opened the door for them and gave them opportunity to proclaim the gospel and opened up the door on their behalf. The reason he did that is because, he says, because you have a little strength and you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. Now, they were in a bad place also. And we could go back and look at the other letters and see. They were also what he calls here in the synagogue of Satan. There were Jews that had gotten in and infiltrated them, but they were deceiving people. They were bad guys that had come in, tares among the wheat. And the Holy Spirit says, I know you're there, but there are those there in Philadelphia. They have a little strength. You know, that's all I aspire for. Lord, I just pray that you'll give me a little strength. I just want a little strength. That's all I want. The Lord never says, you know, you're supposed to have great strength. He's a great God, and he has the strength. And And Lord, just give me a little strength to do your bidding, to do your will. And when you give me an opportunity and set before me an open door, Lord, thank you. You've given me a little strength. But the reason here in Philadelphia that the Lord says, I've given you this opportunity, I've given you the strength, because you haven't denied my name, because you've kept my word, because you've endured and you've hung in there, even in the midst of persecution and even in the midst of the false teaching and in the midst of the synagogue of Satan. I know your deeds and I see you there. And I've given you a little strength because you've been faithful to me. You've been true to me. You've kept my word. How important it is, and I've heard it in the testimony, some of them this morning, how important it is that we keep God's word, that we trust and obey. Not just for ourselves, but yes, for ourselves, first of all, and because he wants us to keep his commands, and if we love him, we will keep his commands. But when we follow him, when we do what he wants us to do, when we keep his commands, he gives us opportunities. He opens doors for us, doors that nobody can shut. I think it's four times, and I wrote them down, and I thought maybe we would look at them, but we won't. But Acts 14:27, 1 Corinthians 16:9, 2 Corinthians 2:12, the Apostle Paul says, "The Lord has set before me an open door. I was brought into this community of unbelievers, of wickedness, there in Corinth or wherever he was. And the Lord has opened a door for me. He's opened to me," it says in Acts 14, "a door among the Gentiles." The Lord's opened that door. Why? Well, because I'm Paul? No, because you've got a little strength and you've endeavored to keep my word. I've said to you, go, and you went, and you did, and you just wanted to follow me. You didn't want to do your own thing anymore, but you wanted to follow me, and because of that, you know, you had to endure some stuff. You had to have some patience or endurance. You needed that, and certainly the Apostle Paul did. But because he endured patiently, because he kept the word of the Lord continued to give to him an open door. And then when he writes to the church at Colossae, he said, "Pray for me. Pray for me that the Lord will open up a door for me, a door of utterance. Pray that the Lord will open up a door." There are times the Lord shut doors. I wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered me not to go. The Lord shut that door. It wasn't time. It wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right individual. Not then. Later. Maybe. Some other time. I have this for you to do. We talked about it last night. You can't reach everybody. I can't reach everybody. But the Lord opens up a door of utterance, or opens up a door that we can minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Romans 1:16, it says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Because that's the power of God unto salvation. And when the Lord opens up doors, why, we should then go through those doors. And we should do the bidding that he'd have us to do. And so the Lord goes on. And I just want to finish very quickly. But I got this door of utterance. And I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, those who don't follow the Lord, who claim they're Jews and they're really not, they're a bunch of liars, they're going to recognize. I'm going to make them come down and fall down before you and acknowledge that I have loved you. Now, I don't think anybody in Philadelphia was hoping for these heathen people to come and start bowing before them and kissing their toes or anything like that. But I think there was just an acknowledgement. I'll cause these that are trying to cause you trouble, but because you've kept my word, they're going to recognize me in you. They're going to recognize that the truth of what you're saying, and I'm going to cause them to... Well, they're going to come down before you. They're going to recognize the word that you speak. You're going to have souls for your hire, even those from the synagogue of Satan. "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth." There's coming, and I don't know exactly what hour of trial is referring to here. Obviously, not the trial that came in AD 70 when Jerusalem was razed. This is well after AD 70. But the Bible talks to us in a few different places. In Matthew, it talks about in the last days, it's going to get pretty bad. Paul says that in 2 Timothy 3. The last days, I want you to know, perilous times are going to come. Men are going to be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. They're going to be boastful and disobedient to their parents, and they're going to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. It's not going to be fun in the last days. It's going to be difficult times, difficult days. And then in Matthew, the Lord says, because in the last days, the iniquity is going to abound. The love of, in the NIV translation, it says, because iniquity will abound, the love of most will wax cold. I concern myself over that verse. The love of many shall wax cold. But you got to endure to the end. There's coming, we read in Thessalonians, a strong delusion. God will send to them a strong delusion. Why? Because they don't keep your word. Because they don't love the truth. I'm going to send them a strong delusion that they'll even believe a lie. There's a snare that comes, another place where we read, upon the whole earth. And in these last days, people are deluded. People are confused. They're deceived throughout the whole earth and the whole world. But there are those, Philadelphia, and there are others today that have kept the word of God, that love the word of God. They have a little strength. And God sets before them an open door, a door of opportunity to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are those that hear it and respond to it, thank God. And so the Lord promises to this church in Philadelphia, because of their faithfulness, because he now promised that he'll keep them. He'll keep them. Somebody said it this morning, maybe last night. Again, they all run together. But he's going to keep us until the day of Jesus Christ. Sister Joni said it. The Lord is going to keep us to the very end. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Don't let anybody take your crown. Him that overcomes, I'll make a pillar in the temple of the living God. They'll go no more out. What do we need to overcome? We need to overcome the just stick to it, stick to it, stick to it, stick to it. Love the word of God. Love the word of God. It patiently endure, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh Lord, help me to be true, faithful to the end. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Galatia, the Lord said, somebody cut in on you, Galatians. I don't know what happened to you. You were running a good race, but somebody got in the way, and now something's gone kaflunky. You know what that word means? Something's gone upset. It's gone. You're not doing what you should be anymore. And he encourages them, come on, let's go. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast. Don't let anybody take your crown. Lord, today we pray that you'll help us. Lord, thank you for the gospel. You give us open doors. Lord, we can't open doors ourselves, but you present this individual, that person, this opportunity. And dear Lord, if you open a door, nobody can shut it. And Lord, there are times when you need to shut doors. We try to barge through. We have our own agenda. We know what we want to do when we want to do it, and here goes. Dear Lord, shut doors if you need to in our pathway. Open other doors, dear Lord. Dear Lord, doors of opportunity, doors of utterance to minister the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord. Help us. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us the grace and strength that we need. A little strength, dear Lord. And we pray, dear Lord, that you'll help us to endure. Hold fast. Oh, Lord, give us ears to hear what you say to your church. In your name we ask it. Amen. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. By thy power every hour, keep me as we go into the day. Let me just give to the guests just a moment now, right after meeting this morning. We want to have our ping pong tournament. Your prize is right here, prize, if you win. So anybody that wants to try, guests, if you want to play a little ping pong this morning down at the boathouse right now after the meeting, we'll do that, Lord willing. And then at 1:15 after dinner, for the last time, Sister Joyce will pull her wares out. And if you want to paint a rock, Did I say the right thing? Was that you, Hellman? Okay. So, okay. I thought maybe I... Okay. 115, if you want to paint rocks or do nice things down there on the lawn, again, this is your last opportunity to do that. And so take advantage of it if you want to. 2 o'clock, the snacks on the porch, weather permitting. Now, this evening, Sister Edith is going to speak to us. In our evening service, it will end at about 9-ish or so, and we'll do as we did last week and go down to the water beachfront and have a bonfire and the s'mores and so on in that fellowship. So just so that you can plan your day accordingly, there is staff prayer at 4:15. There's guest prayer. And yes, the prayer room is open all day, every day, all day, all night, whatever you want. The Lord bless you. Go do whatever you want to do. Praise the Lord.